Hey everyone, Ben here. As you probably know, this episode is a little late. We recorded this episode about a week and a half before Nationals, and despite my best efforts, I wasn't able to finish editing it before Nationals happened. We know the information in this episode is kind of outdated, but figured we'd release it anyways for those of you who would be interested in our thoughts on week two of Orcs. We're recording Nationals analysis episodes with some special guests, and those are going to be out very soon, so stay tuned. Thanks as always for listening, and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to the Mock Review with Ben and Drew. I'm Ben Garmo.
And I'm Drew Evans.
Well, Drew, we are officially into Nationals season. We have said goodbye to Dakota Sutcliffe, and we've moved on to our Nationals case. We're looking forward to discussing that in a future episode. But before we get into anything Nationals related, we've got four more Orcs to discuss. It really does seem like forever ago that we went through week two of Orcs. My team was competing in week two, but we've got some very, very interesting results, some exciting new teams, some surprising teams that didn't get through, and we've finally got our field of 48 teams that will be heading to beautiful Lancaster, Pennsylvania in just a couple of weeks. So I'm really looking forward to breaking down this last set of results with you, Drew. Before we do that, though, how are things going? My understanding is that you know, you're recording this as you take a much well-earned vacation.
Oh, so much so. I am currently on my spring break from law school and at the beach and just trying to relax as much as possible after having turned in the just most awful assignment of all time that is the law school 1L appellate brief. So for everyone else that has just finished that, that are fellow law students, yes, it was awful for all of us. And if you know someone that's in law school, tell them that you're proud of them because they just did something that sucks. But I'm definitely really, really excited to be breaking down Orcs results with you, Ben. I think that this is kind of, to me, the fun side of this, because now that we've gotten out of Orcs, we can start getting into the mindset of we've got the new case, we've got the excitement that is Nationals, like all of the kind of positive sides, and we're kind of out of the really stressful awfulness that is Orcs. I think that pretty much everyone just hates the first couple weeks of March, and we can just be done with those and move forward with hopefully a happier future for all of us.
I couldn't agree more, and we've talked on this show before about just how great in-person Nationals is, and of course, the last in-person Nationals that we had was planned and run by Grant Keener, and this in-person Nationals is planned and run by Grant Keener, and so I have no doubt, you know, we've gotten all the emails with the logistics and everything. It's a little bit of a bookend for us, because we, you know, we were in Lancaster right before the world shut down 2 years ago.
Right.
So it's fun to go back. But I think it's going to be a great tournament, openings and closings at a independent league baseball stadium. You know, just a ton of fun, quirky things that I think are really going to work out and give the 48 teams who advanced to Nationals a really great spectacle. Well, Drew, that's most of my updates. I will say I am recording this a day after returning from 9 out of 10 days of mock trial travel, which candidly is what I was looking forward to when I took the Maryland job. So I, you know, I'm not complaining, to be very clear, but I was in Cincinnati with my A team for 4.5 days for Orcs. And then I got home Monday afternoon and turned right around last Wednesday and travel to Texas with a law school team to the South Texas Challenge. So I do love mock trial, but I've certainly got my fill of it the last couple of days, just in terms of having a crazy schedule this time of year. Anything else new and interesting on your side, or should we take ourselves to our first Orcs?
I will say that I just a few days ago got the law school, for at least for Tulane, the way they do it, they have a tryout in the spring for their law school mock trial team. And so just kind of breaking into that and having a lot of fun, reacclimating myself to having to actually be a mock trial competitor again. So very excited about that. And maybe I'm cursing myself by talking about that on the podcast, but hopefully not. I'll knock on wood right now. But it's good to hear, Ben, that you're doing lots of fun law school mock trial things, and hopefully we'll have a lot to talk about with that very soon. But in the meantime, let's go ahead and talk about our first orcs. Ben, I'll send it over to you if you want to take us to our first one in Cedar Rapids.
That sounds good. Let's go ahead and take it to the Midwest, and we're going to start with the first of our four orcs, and that is the orcs in Cedar Rapids. Just like every other orcs, we had six bids here. Those bids in order were UC Berkeley A, the A3 team, 7 wins and a 17 CS. Next, we had Chicago A, the A1 team, 7 wins and a 13.5 CS. Then we had Chicago B, the A5 team, 6.5 wins and a 14.5 CS.
Next, we had Notre Dame A, B5 team, 6 wins and a 16.5 CS.
After that, we had Wisconsin A, D5 team, 6 wins and a 14 CS. And then finally, we had Wash U St. Louis B, which is the C4 team. They had 6 wins and a 13.5 CS. A lot of really interesting stuff to talk about in this particular Orcs. We had a couple of really surprising Midwest teams who didn't get through. And I think really two different surprises, maybe even three different surprises in the bottom half of the rankings. Mm-hmm. So let's talk first about the biggest one, which is Wisconsin A. Wisconsin A is a D5 team. They do have Orcs points from 3 years ago, but they haven't been to Orcs in the last couple of years. And so that's certainly a big surprise to see them get through to Nationals. They've been on the rise. They've had a lot of success this year. But we were very interested in hearing a little bit more about what it is that has led to Wisconsin's success. So we actually had a great opportunity to chat with Jack Styler, who is the senior captain of Wisconsin Mock Trial. He gave us some insight on just what they've been doing and what's worked for them. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to listen to our conversation with Jack.
So Jack is the solo senior captain of the University of Wisconsin team that just made it to Nationals, and we're so excited to finally get to chat with you a little bit, Jack, and learn a little bit more about your program. So I want to kind of start the way we've started literally every interview we have ever started in this entire podcast history, and that is with your origin story. So can you just tell us a little bit about how you got involved with Mock Trial?
Yeah, sure. So my parents are longtime public defenders. My mom's a longtime public defender. My dad was a public defender for about 10 years before he switched to doing some like union side labor law. And so they always told me not to do any law related things because they had kind of done enough of that stuff. And so I didn't join Mock Trial until I was, I think, a junior in high school. Did it for a couple years, liked it, tried out my freshman year of college at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, was lucky enough to make the team, and then I've been here ever since.
So take me to University of Wisconsin. You get there, you know, how did you find out about the team? What was the tryout like for you? Like, we love hearing that stuff.
Yeah, so I remember just seeing it at the, like, organization fair. I was looking for something to join. I had done it in high school, so I kind of knew what I was doing. And I remember going to the tryout. It was literally 5 minutes, going there, did not think I'd make it, got a call back, and then was pretty much immediately told to start reading the case. And ever since then, I've just been on the team.
Nice. Well, I guess it is only natural to kind of take us forward to a few years later when obviously that team has had some amazing successes. And we're going to get to that in a second, but I want to get a better understanding. You know, you said that you're one of the captains of this team, and I'd love to get a better sense of how exactly that organization works. Are you guys coached? Are you guys student run? What's that interaction like? And then kind of just some general philosophies, like do you guys go blind at tournaments and things like that?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's actually kind of a complicated question because we've had some coach, advisor, sort of people in the past, but no one consistent, no one consistently coming to practices. And up until this year, we had some support from Kate Hainer-Slattery, but she really kind of stepped up this year, and I wanted her to be a big part of the program because she is just such an amazing resource and has helped us in uncountable, unthinkable ways. So she has become, I would say, basically the head coach of our team this year. And she's also brought in Aria Alton, who used to compete at Vanderbilt and who helps us with witnesses and is a great witness coach. And then most recently, she brought in her brother, Bren. And so those three have kind of helped us a lot this year. In the past, it was just two captains for each team. We have two teams. They are unstacked. And the two captains, you know, pick people from tryouts. They make their team and they take it through all year, basically, until usually regionals. And then that was pretty much it. But this year, we're kind of in a little bit of a transition period, I'd say.
So let me ask you about that. As far as that transition has been this year, like what would you say is the biggest difference that your program has had? Like, okay, yes, you have a coach now, but as far as your approach, the amount to which you guys are practicing, do you feel like those things are changing that much? Or do you feel like it's really just, you know, okay, brought in someone like Kate and everyone else, and that's really the only thing that's different about the program? Or do you really see it as more of a structural change that you guys have undergone?
I think it's both structural and cultural. I think we're just generally investing a lot more in mock trial. I think that in the past, we've thought that doing a lot of mock trial would be practicing three times a week. This year, that is not the case. We are practicing more than we've practiced in the past, and it's because people are, you know, generally like they like doing mock trial and they genuinely like each other. And that's been helped by a stellar recruiting class for both teams, both my team and the other Wisconsin team brought in some of the best talent I've seen in a recruiting class in my 4 years here. All of our witnesses on my team are, this is their first year on the team, which is just crazy. And then the people who came back, they really decided, okay, this is something that I want to be good at. And this is something that I want to put time into. And even if it does mean that I'm practicing more than three times a week, they all generally said that they wanted to invest. And that's kind of the reason why I think that we've had more success this year than in the past.
You know, Jack, it's really interesting to hear about all of that because, you know, we hear so much when we talk to different people about programs who are student run and programs who are coach run. And I feel like getting that perspective about going from, you know, not a completely student run program, but primarily student run program to now having more of a coach involved. It's just really interesting to hear how that has sort of impacted your program. I want to talk a little bit now about this year. You've described some of the changes that the program at Wisconsin has undergone. And of course, you've seen some really significant results. You all advanced obviously to Orcs, and then the reason that you're here talking to us is you advanced to Nationals. We want to talk about your Orcs results in just a moment, but it's been a few years since even your A-team has advanced to Orcs. So going back just a couple of weeks, how exciting was that? You know, before you, you know, I know the Nationals bid probably kind of like takes the top spot in the memories of the season now, but before that happened, take us back to getting that Orcs bid and how valuable that was for your program, since it had been a couple years since Wisconsin A had been at Orcs?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think for a lot of teams that are competing, you know, at Nationals and are kind of in this upper level of mock trial, sometimes people may forget how big a deal it is for a program to make it out of regionals. And for me, I'm, you know, a senior on this team. I'm the only senior on this team, and I had never made it out of regionals. And so making it out of regionals was what I had been looking at all year. And I wanted it really badly. And I was so happy when we were able to make it. So that was a really special moment for our team. It was a very special moment for our program, because not only did our team make it past regionals, but the other team made it past regionals. And I think the last time someone had or a team had made it out of regionals from the University of Wisconsin was the year before I was joined the team. So like 5 years ago, I think we had an open bid. So it really has been kind of this breakout year, just getting past the regionals test. And so that was an extremely special moment, and definitely something that I will look back on after this run is over and be, you know, very happy to relive.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you mentioned in there, you know, especially this time of year when we're talking about teams that made it to nationals and all that stuff, it is easy to forget just how valuable it can be to get your first Orcs bid. Drew and I have talked about that pretty extensively. We talked about that with Amaya from Dillard, who also went on to get their nationals bid. So let's talk nationals for just a moment. I'm going to ask a question or two about your path, and then I'll kick it to Drew to ask the fun questions at the end. But before we get to the results of you know, of your weekend, you obviously had a really interesting schedule. You all played Wheaton, Wash U, Minnesota, and Notre Dame. So just really a ton of tough programs out there in the Midwest, programs that we talk about pretty frequently on this podcast. So take me back to going into Orcs, right? You all get your bid to Orcs, the first one in several years. How were you all feeling going into Orcs, and just generally, you know, as you went through that prep process? And then how did you feel as the weekend went on, and as you all were fighting for that bid to Nationals?
Yeah, I remember telling my team that, you know, we have nothing to lose. We were, I think, the second to last ranked team at our Orcs. No one expected us to, I think, make it out. No one expected us to come into a round and surprise people. So I think we were all really relishing, especially that first round, being able to go against an A-bracket team and kind of show up and say, you know, we're here, we've been putting in a lot of work, and, you know, we think we can make it to Nationals. That said, it was also the first tournament that I had ever gone to blind. So it was a weird weekend, because the second day was tough. Wash U was very good. And, you know, Minnesota was also good. I thought that we probably were out. And I went twice on Saturday. So I thought that I had basically done my last mock trial. And I remember that Saturday night reflecting on it, kind of coming to terms with the fact that our season was probably over. And I was kind of at peace with that. I was really happy that we had made it to Orcs, and I felt like I had done something, you know, in my year as captain to kind of push the program forward. So when Kate told us, cause she was not going blind, after our fourth round that we were 5-1, it was crazy. Like, it was really crazy. I remember Kate telling me at the beginning of the year that she thought that we could get to Nationals. And theoretically, I think I thought that we could get to Nationals, but to actually, you know, hear that we were 5-1 and then 20 minutes later, probably get our bid to Nationals was quite a turnaround. It was crazy.
You know, I'll just say it's funny hearing that Kate had that conversation with you, because it's one that I think pretty much anyone who has coached a program that doesn't regularly make it to Nationals, it's a conversation that they've probably had of, you know, I know that this goal sounds unattainable, but you can do it. And you guys are proof that you can do it. If you just put in the time and the hours, it is something that should be a realistic goal. Now, to the point that we were just discussing earlier, it should also be a goal to just make it out of regionals. That's a huge, huge accomplishment. But I think that it is just – I think I find it sometimes upsetting that so many strong competitors, strong programs, kind of settle with a, oh, like, we're never going to actually make it to nationals. Like, all right, we'll just, you know, we'll do the best we can. And like, no, like, you should believe in yourself, have that hope. And it's cool to hear that you guys, you know, had that conversation so early on and that you were able to see it through. So, you know, obviously you just discussed, you know, the fact that you were blind that whole time and that you kind of didn't know how you were doing the whole way through. But let me ask you about that third round, because it said you were saying that you didn't compete in your final. In the fourth round, you were just a single side on the defense. Is that right?
Single side on the prosecution. Yeah.
Single side on the prosecution. So you were saying that you kind of felt like you'd just gone through your last round. Like, as a senior, because I've been there as a senior, you know, knowing or expecting this is my last round. And it's a weird feeling because you kind of have that go for broke, like nothing else to lose type of attitude, but also the nostalgia of, oh my gosh, like this is my last cross or my last speech or my last direct or whatever. And it's a very odd feeling. So I just, in hearing you say that, I was kind of thinking about that myself, but I'm kind of curious for you if you can say more to that, like that moment of I've just finished my last thing and I'm kind of, I don't know, I very much so had a, like, I'm handing this off. I was competing at the time with two, you know, teammates of mine that were both much younger that I knew were going to carry the program in the future. But I remember having that real moment of, okay, you know, my time is past. It's time for the youngins. And I'm kind of curious whether you had anything like that.
I absolutely did have that. And I think that it's also strange because I'm the only senior on this team. And we have four people who are, this is their first year on the team. And then we have three people who they've only been on the team 1 year before this. Wow. So I'm the only senior. And so a lot of these moments, you know, I'm not able to turn to someone next to me and be like, you know, how crazy is this that this could be it? Mm. So it's a lot of just like looking around at, you know, these people that I've spent all this time with, all these many months with, many of whom I've feel like, you know, me and my co-captain Lindsay like handpicked from tryouts, and just being incredibly grateful to them and thinking about like what an honor it is to have captain this team. And, you know, for me, it's great that we got out of regionals and it's great that we got, you know, now we're going to nationals, but to press reset, I think, on the culture of the program was so much more important to even the results, and to see that everyone was having a good time. Everyone was there together and felt like so in it as a group, you know, it was both very special and pretty emotional. It's a very strange feeling when you're just looking around at all these people. And that said, I think that I'm, you know, whatever happens at nationals, I am leaving the program in such great hands. And it makes me like so happy that we do have such a young team, because I can kind of brag for them because I will not have to back up this claim. But like, I think that they will be very good in the future, even better than this year. So I'm now just like really excited and very thankful to all of them for all the hard work that they put in.
Well, I think that makes a lot of sense. And it's, you know, work that has clearly gone noticed. So I want to ask the question that, you know, everyone was expecting or knows coming, but that moment, right? So when Jonathan Woodward is reading out those bids, and he says University of Wisconsin, like what is the first thought that comes into your head?
The first thought, I think, was just that this is crazy and I'm not sure if this is real life, but also I need to go up there because, you know, everyone was jumping around and stuff, but I was like, oh my God, I need to go. I don't know. Do I have to shake hands with this guy? I'm not sure. So, you know, there's definitely like a learning curve about like, you know, when you've been on a team for a long time that hasn't necessarily had results pan out for them. Just figuring out like logistically what I need to do is such a stress right in the moment. But Yeah, it was a lot to take in. We have a video of it, and I'm very stone-faced. And I think that there was a lot of emotions, but I was trying to kind of like keep it all under control. But on the car ride back, it really hit me that, okay, we're going to Nationals. And of course, there's an element of luck. And I think that that's something that, you know, I want to be like pretty upfront about. But there's also just so much hard work. And so I was just like very, very appreciative of that moment. And I'll definitely remember it for a long time. So it was pretty cool.
Well, Jack, I think it's one that so many people can hopefully identify with, and those that haven't can hopefully use it as something to aspire to. So thank you again so much for chatting with us, Jack. And it's been great to hear from you, and congratulations again. And all I can say now is best of luck at Nationals, man.
Yeah, congrats, Jack. Thanks for chatting with us.
Yeah, thank you both so much for having me on.
Thanks so much to Jack for coming on the show. It was really great to get a chance to chat with him. You know, Drew, I think there's so much to talk about at this Orcs. I think Notre Dame is worth talking about. Certainly the surprise of seeing WashU B get the bid over WashU A. You've got some non-traditional powers, you know, that are not really from this specific area that came in and did really well. But I've been talking for a little while, so give me your thoughts. What else did you see here?
Yeah, I think that there are a lot of really interesting results that we have here. Obviously, getting to talk with Jack from Wisconsin, that's the big one in our D group team, but we have a C group team and a B group team both making it through in Notre Dame and WashU B. And I'll say this, while obviously we always expect the A group teams to make it through, I think in the back of my mind, I kind of expected big things from both Notre Dame and WashU, even if it's WashU B. Notre Dame, you know, we've talked about them a lot. They've really been on the rise. They're the B5 team here. And while that doesn't scream making it through, I will be honest that I'm not surprised at all to see them there. I think they're a really strong program. They've been doing a lot of great things lately, and it was only a matter of time before they made it through to Nationals. WashU, I mean, we've talked so much about how good WashU has been this year. I truly think the fact that their A team didn't make it through, which was a B1 team, is almost more surprising than some of these A group teams. I think WashU was so, so good and such a scary team to have to face. And truly, their B team was formidable as well, as you can see by the fact that they made it out. But I'm not at all surprised to see either Notre Dame or WashU be making it out. And that just goes to show what a kind of weird Orcs this was. The A group teams that didn't make it out here were Minnesota, Wheaton, and Iowa. And here's, like, those are all three programs that you very routinely hear making it to Nationals. Like, those are very, very solid programs. And it's obviously a surprise not to see them there. But I guess my point is that it's tough because I don't know who I would take out from the current Orcs teams to make it there to give them a spot. You know, I mean, it seems like kind of a very tough Orcs and a very oddly or surprisingly deep Orcs. To really quickly talk about some of the teams that did make it through, though, UC Berkeley, like, just reminding us all how scary good the West Coast is. And I'll give this props to them. It's one thing to do really well at a neutral site or when it's online and to beat teams kind of in their quote-unquote backyard. The fact that UC Berkeley is coming in and beating all of these teams in the Midwest, you know, we always talk about those regional differences. Maybe part of it can also just be that some styles are just more fun than others. And maybe, like, the fact that there is this, whether we want to discuss there being a regional difference or not, maybe Berkeley is just doing things that are really, really good that everyone likes. And maybe we can all take a leaf out of that book. But clearly UC Berkeley dominating, great job on their part. And then the next two A group teams were Chicago A and B. And look, it is always impressive when you get both teams through to Nationals, No shock that it was Chicago, the team to do it here. They're just another really deep, really, really strong program. They're the A1 team and the A5 team. You know, it's tough to be in much better positioning than that. But definitely no surprises there to see Chicago or Berkeley making it out. And like I said, with the other three that have made it, you know, also not really surprising there. So definitely a tough orcs here. And Ben, I've been now talking for a little bit too, so I'll toss it back to you for what you're thinking.
You know, I think that you're spot on with almost everything that you were saying there, because what I was looking through as you were talking, I was just kind of looking through this tab summary, because it's always surprising when you see WashU St. Louis A and Minnesota A not get through. It's like, okay, that's a surprising result. And part of the reason is they knocked each other out. So you had the situation, WashU has this path where they have a big win in round one, and then they get swept by Wisconsin. Minnesota goes 4-0 on the first day and then loses two very, very close ballots to Berkeley, a 1 and a 4. And so all of a sudden they're sitting at 4-2, and they play WashU St. Louis A. They split, like close to a true split, as a 4 and a 6. And WashU doesn't get out 5-3 with a 16.5 CS, and Minnesota doesn't get out 5-3 with a 19 CS. And then, you know, you had actually similar experiences. Iowa A went 4-3-1, and in their round four, they had a true split with 1025 McAllister, who also had a pretty good week. But there, what was interesting is Iowa, they were 3-0-1 after their first two, and then they had a sweep from Chicago A. And so it's like you had these two teams, your traditional Midwest powers in Iowa and Minnesota, who have very good first days, and then they run into Berkeley and Chicago, get swept, and then end up in a you have to sweep this round four, and they're not quite able to pull it out. That is what makes a really, really difficult orcs. Wheaton actually had almost a, you know, not quite identical, but very similar path. They were 3-1 through the first day, and then in round three, they get swept by Chicago B. So all of these teams, you know, had this similar experience in terms of why they didn't get out. And Wisconsin managed to pick up ballots in their A group round, which I think, let's see, that they were a D, right? They swept, or they split with 1304, which is Wheaton. In round one. So Wisconsin managed to get through their A group round with ballots, and some of these other teams didn't, and that was the difference. You know, we try not to speculate too much, like you said, about regional differences, but it certainly is noteworthy to see the path of the Berkeleys and Chicagos of the world as opposed to the paths of some of those other teams. But I just think it communicates just how tough all of these orcs were. And then the last thing that I'll say about this one is I completely agree with what you were saying about Notre Dame. I'm not surprised at all to see them get through. They, you know, came in right away in round one, and they kind of had an interesting split. They had a +9, -1 against Kansas, and then they just kind of, you know, cruised the rest of the way until they got into that last round. So they had a very strong weekend. And their, let's see, they were a B group team, and so
B5.
Right, and so they're round four. They were the only team to take a ballot off of Berkeley.
I was about to say that. I was wondering if you're going to catch it.
Yeah, and so like that right there tells you, I mean, like, you know, if some other teams had taken a ballot off of Berkeley, they probably would be on that list. Notre Dame managed to do it. So a very impressive showing from them, and I think that you'll see some very interesting things from these teams. Certainly Notre Dame and Wisconsin are teams at Nationals that I'll be keeping an eye on for how they do. I think that's all I have here. So unless you have anything else, Drew, I think you can move us forward to Cincinnati.
I think the last thing that I just want to quickly note is just the number of 5-3 teams here. And, you know, we'll talk about it later, but 5-3 has traditionally not been enough to make it out of orcs. But you've got WashU A at 5-3, Kansas at 5-3, Minnesota at 5-3, Wheaton at 5-3. I mean, that's a lot of teams to be right there on that edge. And as you talked about, Ben, I mean, losing that A group round alone isn't enough. It's that you have to then also fail to take you know, fail to sweep all of your other rounds. And that's the kind of the curse that we saw, is that a lot of those teams got swept in their A group round. And then it was like, oh, if you can just sweep the rest, you'll be okay, but not quite able to pull it off. But with that, I think we are good to go. Let's go ahead and move on to our next orcs, and that would be Cincinnati. In Cincinnati, our first bid out was to Georgetown B, the A5 group team. They had 6.5 wins and a 12 CS. And our second bid was Georgetown A, the A4 group team, with 6 wins, a 17 CS, and then, because we're going to need it, a 68.5 OCS. And then in third, our favorite team, our defending national champs, UMBCA, the A1 group team, with 6 wins, a 17 CS, and then just 2 OCS short at a 66 OCS for our third spot. Then Michigan State A, our B3 team, with 6 wins and a 15 CS. Then Cincinnati A, our B1 team, at 5.5 wins and a 20.5 CS. And then finally, Juniata A, our C2 team, with 5 wins and a 17.5 CS. Now, note that that was a 5-win team with a 17.5 CS. Our very first honorable mention team was Penn State A with 5 wins and a 17.5 CS. So that means, as heartbreaking as it is, the bid to Nationals came down to OCS. And between Juniata College and Penn State, Juniata had a 68.5 OCS. Penn State had just a 62 CS. So on that tiebreaker, Juniata goes forward and Penn State is stuck asking why is OCS the tiebreaker. We did have 2 other honorable mentions, though, that I should mention, and that's University of Illinois. They had 5 wins and a 17 CS, and then University of Michigan A with 5 wins and a 16.5 CS. So again, you know, just taking from where I last left off at Cedar Rapids, a lot of 5-win teams here as well, but 5 wins is all of a sudden enough to make it out, and we get to that awful tiebreakerness in order to see who it is that gets that bid. But definitely some surprising results here, and then, you know, one very unsurprising result that we'll talk about in a second. But, you know, this was definitely, in my opinion, probably the most surprising orcs, and luckily for all of us, we have someone here who was there. So, Ben, I will toss it over to you, and I'll let you kind of get into all the nitty-gritty of this one. What'd you think of Cincinnati?
You know, it was an interesting weekend. There's a lot to talk about at this org, so I'll kind of try to move through it very quickly. Obviously, I was thrilled for us to be able to get a bid to get back to Nationals. You never take anything for granted. You know, last year's A1 team didn't get out of orcs, and I was very well aware of that going into this weekend. We played 2 of the teams that are advancing, the 2 teams directly around us, the Georgetown team that advanced, Georgetown A. We just played them. We were both 4-0 going into round 3, and we double tied. I won't repeat the things I said in the tab room when that happened, but it was certainly one of those results that, and I don't mean that as like, oh, we should have won by 10. Just like, come on, a double tie? Like, are you, like, the writers are just getting lazy. But then we had a really important round with Michigan State A and round 4. You and I have talked before on this podcast about how we think Michigan State is a really, really great program that gets overshadowed sometimes. That was a really good team. I thought that they definitely deserved to advance. They took a ballot off of us. We actually, our judges were criminal case committee, Nationals criminal case committee chair Dan Hoy and his wife, who are very, very experienced mock trial judges. They split, allowing both us and Michigan State to get through. I did want to talk a little bit about all those 5-win teams, because it was funny. So, you know, we double tied with Georgetown A, so we were at 5 going into round 4. And I was looking through all the cards and just kind of getting a sense of things, and I was pretty sure at that point that a 5-win team was guaranteed to get through. And I was kind of trying to figure out if it was going to be us or you know, sort of how things were going to work out. You see, if you look at the tab summary here, some really strange splits from the teams, the sort of the top powers that you would have expected to get through. In round 1, Penn State, they're an A group team, and so they draw their D group matchup in Davidson. They go +21, -2. In round 2, Michigan, they're an A group team, I think playing a C group team, 1470 Xavier. they go plus 23 minus two. And then the actually other rounds for those teams were also interesting splits. Michigan goes plus nine minus three against Scranton. Penn State goes plus 13 minus three against 1062, which I believe was Juniata who did eventually get through. Having been at this Orcs, those splits don't shock me. I will say that the judges that we encountered had some pretty strong preferences, and we saw some scoring movement on our end as well. I don't know if I've ever sent a team to compete in the Cincinnati area, but it was certainly an interesting experience in terms of judging. And I will say, as sort of my last thought here, you know, obviously, you know, we got through and closing ceremonies was great. We did closing ceremonies outside, so everybody was able to gather there in person, which was nice. But we were near one of these teams who didn't get through. And it really is sort of this dichotomy of, you know, my team worked so hard and we're elated to get through. You know, and then we were sitting next to this team that we like and respect whose season was over and who, candidly, I think is probably a Nationals caliber team and deserves to be there. And just barely missed out, and it's just really tough. I feel for those teams. And again, it's not to suggest that the non-A group teams who got through didn't deserve it, but I had sort of forgotten what that was like because that was the first in-person ceremony we've been to since 2020 Orcs. But that's not always fun to sit next to a team who you like and want to see get through and to have them have that experience of getting so close. So all in all, very interesting Orcs, very impressive showing by Georgetown to take the first two bids. Not surprising at all. We hit their A team in round three and they were excellent. So certainly not a surprise to see that happen. Drew, anything here that I have not covered that you noticed?
Well, I'll just mention one thing from personal experience, and that's that Penn State is really, really good. I watched them a few times this year. And they scrimmaged Chapford at one point, and I saw them at an invite, and they're really good. I was very, very surprised to not see them make it out. I'm glad you mentioned that tough path of splits that they had. One thing I just wanted to mention that I thought was kind of interesting, their round two split with Juniata. Juniata and they obviously had that whole tiebreaker debacle later on, and because there was no clear winner through their round, the head-to-head matchup is null and void. But I wonder, and you know, obviously, situationally, it looks like Penn State would love for this change to exist. But if we ever considered point differential when we look at, you know, something like a head-to-head matchup, you know, Ben, as you well remember it, that's what decided the national championship. So I kind of wonder why we get away from that when it comes to a head-to-head tiebreaker, especially when there are only two judges like that. I just feel like, you know, if we realistically had two people watch the round and I guess the problem with it is that one thought one was better, the other thought the other was better, and how much better they thought really we tend not to care about. But I don't know. I'm just kind of, as I'm looking at this, I'm thinking about it and trying to decide what I think and whether or not I think point differential should be considered when you look at the head-to-head matchups. But whether I think it should or not, that's not the way that AMPTA does it right now. And as it stands, head-to-head, you got to have a clear winner. When you don't, you go to OCS. And that's what happened. I will say that outside of that result, I don't want to overlook the fact that Michigan didn't make it out. I was almost equally stunned that Michigan didn't make it back just because they're another such a deep, strong program. And look, like, you know, both Michigan and Penn State are teams that I think everyone would expect to make it back. And once again, you look at the teams that made it and you're like, well, who are they taking the place of? Like, I don't know. I mean, Michigan State, you talk about how good they were. Cincinnati is a B1 team, but I mean, Cincinnati makes it to Orcs all the time. Georgetown A and B, I mean, they're coming in as A group teams, coming out as A group teams. I mean, it's tough to find where I would take someone out. And then, you know, we're not even mentioning the fact that Illinois had a really strong showing and was really, really close to it. So yeah, I mean, I really agree with what you were saying, Ben, about the dichotomy of Orcs and how it is so, so exciting for some and so disappointing for others. And that sucks. But I just, you know, it does. My heart goes out to those teams because I know that they were working super hard too, and that they probably, you know, had very strong thoughts on one or two ballots that could have gone a different way and would have changed the result of their weekend. But it's definitely very upsetting to see. I guess the last thing I'll kind of close with is just kind of the interesting, like, difference between this Orcs and Cedar Rapids, with the whole 5 and 3 bids being enough to make it through. I'm sure that there are, you know, folks in Cedar Rapids that are upset and disappointed because they were at 5 and 3 and they would have won the CS tiebreaker had they been in this Orcs. And, you know, it is interesting to see, like, how closely clustered this Orcs was. Like, I think, you know, there was no team with even 7 wins. And that just says something about how competitive it was here, that we had, you know, all of the bids allocated basically between, you know, 5 and 6 wins, which is just, or, you know, you got the 1, 6.5. But I do think it is really interesting to see just how close together everything is and what a game of inches it has become to make it out of Orcs. And I'll guess that the last thing I'll just say on that is that I really do appreciate this new system that we have for Orcs pairings, because I feel like it has allowed us to do a much better job of, like, you know, teams have a at least relatively similar path, and they're going to have relatively similar records at the end of the day, and you're going to really have to work to get out. And I think that's, it's a fun change that I think we can see kind of on, you know, we can see this working in this Cincinnati Orcs. The one thing I do want to mention before I go is Cincinnati, and specifically the fact that they had 5.5 wins and a 20.5 CS at Orcs. You do not see a lot of teams making it out of Orcs with a CS over 20. That is really, really tough and really, really impressive. And I want to just shout them out because that is a super tough path. We haven't talked about it a lot this year, but I do think that the B1 group team has a much easier path than the A6 group team, but clearly Cincinnati was not so lucky. Like, that is tough, and it is good on them to make it out despite having such a high CS. So I wanted to shout them out. And then obviously, Ben, congratulations to you guys. The fact that you guys are making it back, you know, I never want to not mention that. But seriously, congrats to you guys. Obviously not an easy path for you as well, and glad to see that our defending national champs will be defending their title in a few weeks.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, like I mentioned at the beginning of this Orcs, I never take Orcs for granted, never take regionals for granted. I was thrilled for my 3 seniors who have just been such a huge part of this program for the last 4 years. I was commenting at practice last night, you know, I have 4 seniors who have all, you know, gotten to experience nationals all 4 years. And that's just a really exciting thing for them to get to be a part of. I mean, obviously, Nationals didn't happen 2 years ago, but they got to experience getting the bid before the world shut down. One or two other quick things I want to talk about and then we should move forward to New Rochelle. We've talked a lot about the other 5 teams who advanced. We haven't talked as much about Juniata, certainly a program on the rise. They were the benefit of, you know, I'll say squeaking through. I don't mean that pejoratively, but just managing to get by on that OCS tiebreak over Penn State. And then I think the very last thing that I want to talk about, because I've said before, I'm really interested in you know, a team's path. I saw this happening when the cards were being dealt and everything like that. So we talked about those crazy splits that Penn State and Michigan had. So they both sort of are on the wrong side of weird splits in round 1 and round 2. And so what's their reward in round 3? Each other. And I knew when I saw those cards laid down, right, we were playing Georgetown, and I knew one of those teams has got to sweep the other or neither one is getting through. Mm-hmm. And they went, it was a split, and it was a 13-10. So there was no one was sweeping in that round, which is probably objectively correct. If you put Michigan and Penn State against each other, I would be willing to bet they're about equal. They're both mm-hmm. top 15, top 20 teams who are just fantastic. And it's like, it's so, I mean, the new Orcs group plan is great and it works really well, but if you're an A group team and you mm-hmm. don't at least pull 3 out of the 4 from the D and C, stuff gets real tough real fast, and you end up in a situation like they did. So I think it's everything that I have here, Drew.
All right. Well, I think with that, let's go ahead and go to New Rochelle, Ben, so you can take us away.
Sounds good. So let's go to our third of four orcs this weekend, and that was in New Rochelle. Our bids in order, we had Fordham Lincoln Center A, the A4 team, 7 wins and a 16 CS. We had Boston University A, the A3 team, 7 wins and an 11.5 CS. Next, we had Yale A, our A1 team, 6 wins and a 13 CS. After that, we had Hamilton A, our B3 team, 6 wins and an 11 CS. Then we had Yale B, our B5 team, with 5.5 wins and a 17 CS. And then finally, we had Harvard A, our A2 team, with 5 wins and a 17.5 CS. This is an interesting orcs. It's not quite as chalk as maybe the last one we're going to discuss in Dakal, but it is, there's not a ton of shocks here. The A group teams that didn't get through were Columbia and Cornell. Cornell doesn't really count because they unfortunately had to withdraw after day one and were replaced by a bye bust, which I believe is responsible for the low CSs for both BU and Hamilton. I know BU played that bye bust team in round three, and I think Hamilton played
Hamilton
that team
four.
In round four. Not taking anything away from those teams, but obviously a stacked Cornell A is going to be a bit more formidable than a hastily assembled bye bust team. So worth noting there. And then Columbia is a team that has traditionally been very good, weren't quite able to get through this year. I do think that they've done a little bit less this year than the A group teams, you know, your Lincoln Centers, your BUs, your Yales, your Harvards. So maybe not a huge shock there, a surprise that, you know, Columbia's always been a very, very good team. And, you know, maybe I would have expected them before Hamilton or Yale B, but, you know, not like a stunning result or anything like that. We were just discussing 5-win teams, and you see Harvard managing to get in with 5 wins. So whereas in week one, 5 wins wasn't good enough in any of the orcs, week two, 5 wins was good at 2 different orcs. But you had to get 17.5 CS, right? It's 5 wins and a 17.5 CS, and that got Juniata and Harvard through and didn't quite get Penn State through. Aside from this, I will note Lincoln Center. They're a team that we've spoken a fair amount on this podcast about. They're a team that I have tremendous, tremendous respect for. And I think, you know, every so often we talk about teams where I'm like, I wonder if that team has a, I'll say out of nowhere, I don't mean completely out of nowhere, but like a surprising Nationals run in them. You know, Lincoln Center is one of those teams where they play such a smart, you know, careful style, especially since they don't have to go too far to go down to Lancaster. I'd be really interested to see, and will be really interested to see how they perform at Nationals. And then I think the last thing that I will mention and then kick it over to you, Drew, of course, Yale is Yale. Very impressive result for them to get 2 teams through. I know they're pretty young this year. And so to get 2 teams through to Nationals, I'll be very interested to see if we're going to end up with a Yale team in the national final round for the, what, 6th year in a row, I think it would be, which would be amazing. Who knows? Maybe there's a rematch in our future. You know, that could be that could be a fun one. Drew, what did you see here that I didn't cover?
Well, so I will say that I didn't attend any of the in-person rounds, but this is where Haverford competed. So I was keeping in touch with them and finding out what was going on the whole weekend. I will start by just saying that you're right to point out the deal with Cornell. I do not think it is a coincidence that the two teams that got lucky enough to play a bye buster for their A group round made it through. That is not to take away from their success. They still had to win their other rounds to get there. But as you said, there is just, you know, it is not worth overlooking that. The other thing I wanted to say is that unlike some of our other orcs, at this orc, the only 5-win team aside from that bye buster was Harvard. So there really was, I mean, there wasn't even a tiebreaker with that. It was pretty clearly, look, this is the next best team. Everyone else is at 4 wins or 4.5 wins or what have you. And I do think that that is interesting because I think Harvard, you know, everyone can agree is really, really good and clearly deserves to be at Nationals. So I'm so glad to see that they did make it through despite having a tough schedule in which they had to face Yale A in that third round. And what a fun Nationals preview I'm sure that was of a close round that went +13, -2 for Yale. a really, really good round, though, I'm sure, and I wish I could have watched that one. I think that other than that, you covered a lot of what I was going to mention. I will quickly say about Columbia that my understanding is that they are also a very, very young team. I think that they are really doing a lot of rebuilding after, you know, a few years of, you know, semi-rebuilding with some older members that were kind of the leftovers from the Nick Sirowski, Rachel Summers era. And, you know, they're kindly finally recycled through all of that. And they've got a new crop of young kids that are trying to bring the program back. And you love to see it. And you hope nothing but the best for them. But definitely, I think on the whole, they are probably on the weaker side of A-group teams just because they are still in that slight rebuilding era. That does not mean to take anything away from them, but not a hugely surprising A-group result. I think that the teams that made it outside of the A-group here, Yale B and Hamilton, are both not huge surprises for me either, though. Yale B, look, I'm not going to even get into them. Yale B is pretty damn good. They're Yale. Their B team made it to the national finals a few years back. Clearly, they're really, really good. And then Hamilton, I feel like Hamilton's been another one of those like fringe Orcs teams forever, where they're very consistently getting, you know, 3, 4, maybe 5 wins at Orcs. And this was the year they're finally able to push through. And like I said, kind of helped by that round 4 where they faced the Vibuster, and they actually ended up splitting with that Vibuster. But still, you know, going 5-1 into that last round, facing an A-group team, you got to be very, very glad when you find out that that team that you're facing is the Vibust. So definitely good on Hamilton to make it through. And I guess the other team I wanted to talk about that was, to me, a little bit surprising was MITA. You know, we talked a lot about how successful MIT was at regionals, and their A team ended up going 3-4-1. Definitely not bad. I mean, look, at the end of the day, they were a C group team, and getting 3.5 wins is definitely good. I think what is interesting to me is that when you look at their path, their first round was against Yale B, and they ended up losing and tying that round. But every other round they had, you can see, was clearly not just competitive, but arguable, a little bit surprising, where in their round 2, they faced, this was team 16-11, which is Columbia A, and they had a split of plus A and minus 7. Then in their round 3, they had a plus 16 minus 1 with Cornell B. And then in their last round, they had a plus 13 minus 8 with Harvard B. So, you know, taking on a lot of solid programs, a lot of well-known programs, and coming out, in my opinion, ahead on most of those PDs. So definitely good showing from them, but I think a little bit surprising, just there was so much hype around them to be making it to nationals this year. So definitely sad to see them not make it, but definitely still very good on their part. And then I just lastly wanted to point out, you know, we don't always get a ton of unranked teams. I think that this was one of the Orcs that had a lot more unranked teams. They had 4, and one of those was Toronto A, which being one of our only, if not the only, Canadian team, they went 4-4, which I think is really cool and really exciting. And I love seeing teams outside of the contiguous United States starting to compete in AMTA and kind of grow our web of mock trial. And seeing a team like Toronto come in and have such a good showing is really, really exciting and really cool. Their only drop was to Cornell A when Cornell A was Cornell A, not the Vibust. Other than that, they split every round or swept their round 3 against Wellesley. So clearly Toronto is a team that we should be thinking about and keeping in our minds for next year, but definitely exciting to see them do so well. Other than that, I will just lastly point out Haverford competed here, and while our record didn't show it, I think that we were a much better team than 2-6. Definitely upsetting to drop both of our first 2, and then I will allow people to speculate as much or as little as they want about our round 3 and 4s, in which we had a plus 9 minus 1 and a plus 23 minus 7. You know, again, sometimes you get judges that disagree, and sometimes they disagree on a lot. But on the whole, very happy with how the weekend went, really proud of those kids. They worked really, really hard, and excited for next year, I think, for them and how they can do. I will just close by saying that this was, you know, we said there weren't any 5-3 teams. There were a ton of teams at 4-4. I'm not even going to list all of them because it's basically every single team that we haven't talked about. But there were just a lot of teams clustered at 4 wins, and that seemed like that was the block that teams needed to get off of. So definitely a fun Orcs, definitely a very, very competitive one. Pretty much always happens that way when you got the East Coast Orcs. But I think that's all I've got here, Ben. I'll toss it back to you if you've got anything else.
I want to talk about one more thing, and then we should go to our last one. And you sort of just previewed it talking about those 4-4 teams. So I was just looking through this because I wanted to talk about NYU. And I was looking at them. They went 4-4. They had a +4/-1 in round 4 against Harvard. If that minus one becomes a tie, NYU gets out at 4.5. I was just looking through this. I've like quadruple checked it. I'm almost certain I'm correct because Harvard A was the only 5-3 team.
Yeah.
And they picked up that one. And so if that ballot becomes a tie, Harvard A is 4-3-1. NYU is 4-3-1, but NYU wins the round by taking 1.5 ballots and therefore would get the head-to-head tiebreak and would have gotten through. So that is a, you know, we occasionally catch these. That is a 1 point on one ballot round, and NYU would have managed to get through to nationals with 4.5 wins. So it just goes to show you, like, when you're in that round 4, you know, if you're Harvard and you're, I think they were 4-2 going into that round, you fight for every point because literally 1 point in that round was the difference between Harvard and NYU getting to nationals. I think that's also noteworthy because NYU had 2 different -1s. They had a +7/-1 in round 1 and a +4/-1 in round 4, which suggests to me that NYU may very well be a team that we could see at nationals at this time next year. Other than that, I think you have basically covered it. Like you said, this was a very, very tough Orcs. A lot of really great teams. You look down this list and there really are no weaknesses. No, you know, even in the unranked teams, like you said, you know, Toronto unranked and they go 4-4. So really no soft spots here at this Orcs and a lot of interesting things. That's all I got. So if you want to take us to our last one, I say go for it.
All righty. Last but certainly not least, we have the DeKalb Orcs. Starting with our first bid out, we had Tufts A, the A1 team, with 7 wins and a 17.5 CS. Then closely followed by Tufts B at A5 with 7 wins and a 15 CS. Then Miami A, our A3 team, with 7 wins and a 14 CS. And then going to 6 wins, we had Hillsdale A, our B2 team, with 6 wins and a 21 CS. Then Northwood A, our A2 team, with 6 wins and an 18 CS. And finally, our last bid out was OSU A, the A4 team, with 5.5 wins and a 13.5 CS. I got to say, this is probably the most scratch Orcs we're going to have. 5 of the 6 A group teams made it out, and the other team to make it was a B2 team. Case Western A, our great nemesis, was the one team to not make it out. Of course, we're joking. I adore Case Western. They're wonderful people over there. And they had 2 teams that both went 4-4, just heartbreakers to be so, so close. And when you look at Case Western A, quite literally every round was a split. +4/-2, +4/-9, +6/-6, +12/-9. I mean, that's just got to be so infuriating because you know that all 4 of those rounds didn't feel like a split. Nothing ever feels like a split. It feels like a win or it feels like a loss. And I think if you're Case Western, those probably mostly felt like wins. And that is just, I mean, so tough to see. It goes to show you how tough it is to make it out of Orcs. Every round is competitive and you've got to be winning them clean if you want to have any hope of making it. So definitely heartbreaking to see them not make it out. Such a strong program and such a program that we do really enjoy it. And sad to see them not make it. But as I was saying, they're the only A group team to not make it out. And the team that replaced them was Hillsdale College, who had 6 wins and a 21 CS. I said it before when we had a 20.5 CS in Cincinnati. I do not remember seeing that many 20 CS teams making it out of Orcs. It is just really, really tough. And especially with this new system, that means you are facing teams that did pretty well their other rounds, and really just is so, so impressive. Their drops were in round two to team 1488. That was Dartmouth College B. It was a interesting plus 19 minus 9. And then their round four was a split against 1008, which was Tufts A. The only ballot Tufts A dropped the whole weekend was that minus 2 from Hillsdale in round four. So Hillsdale did not have an easy path. They made it happen anyway, and good on them for doing that. I just mentioned Tufts, and I want to mention them one more time. I mean, to go both your programs go 7-1 is really impressive. What I think is maybe even more impressive is the fact that Tufts B, their one drop was to Miami A. Miami A, who went 7-1, that was their only drop, was their split with Tufts, which was a plus 9 minus 2 for Tufts B. I mean, look, Miami A may have been the A3 team here, but they're Miami. Like, they're one of the top maybe 5 or 6 programs in the whole country. And to have a B team splitting with them that way is really, really impressive. And for that B team to literally not have another close ballot the rest of the weekend just shows you how good Tufts has become and how deep they are. Look, we've been talking about them a lot this year. They are not a team that I want to see at Nationals. I mean, holy cow. I've been talking for enough, though, about this regional. I'll throw it over to you, Ben, to get some of your thoughts on DeKalb.
You know, what's interesting is a lot of what you said is how I feel about this works. Tufts at the top, Miami at the top, your other A group teams plus Hillsdale. Just a lot of really, really great teams here. I just don't think there are a lot of huge shocks. You know, definitely a surprise not to see Case Western get through, given their success at Nationals last year. But I don't know if I'd go so far as to call it a shock. I totally agree with your analysis you were just saying about Tufts. They're a program that we're very familiar with. And to see such an incredibly impressive showing just suggests to me that they should be one of those teams we are thinking about as a possibility to be in the national final round. Same for Miami to have such a dominant showing, to have a triple-digit point differential. And with the exception of that close round with Tufts B, just really no one came close. There was a plus 8 in round one. Other than that, every other ballot except for the Tufts round was a double digit. And, you know, it's like kind of easy to take that for granted because it's Miami. But it's really, really difficult to win double-digit ballots at Orcs. You're getting everybody's best shot. And it's not like anybody goes into a round against Miami and isn't like, oh, we got to give it our best. Everyone understands that, you know, you don't want anything to do with a team like Miami. And they're going to go in there and give it everything that they've got. And for pretty much every team except for Tufts B, it just wasn't even close to enough. The other teams that we saw getting through here, Northwood, a consistently strong team, not surprising at all to see them back at Nationals. Ohio State had some rocky moments this year, and they managed to grab that last bid. I think they're a really, really good team, and I just am really excited to see. I think they're young. I think they've had a lot of graduating members the last couple years, just how they're going to perform at Nationals. Other than that, I think you mostly covered it. I agree with everything you said about Hillsdale. While you were talking about them, I looked them up. So they're ranked 72nd in the country. They won 8 ballots at Orcs last year, which was good enough for some teams to get through to Nationals. So I really don't think it's a surprise at all to see them manage to jump into that top group and take a bid as well. B2 versus A6, it's like, you know, you're kind of splitting hairs at that point, especially with such a good field. I can't think of anything else here. I think that I'll sort of close by saying I do, you know, obviously Tufts B versus Miami A was a great round. You know, I do kind of wish we had gotten Tufts A versus Miami A. Could be sort of a preview of a round four Nationals matchup or something like that. But either way, I think, you know, Tufts B certainly in the conversation, but Tufts A and Miami A are two teams on that list of teams that we have to be keeping an eye on as potential final round contenders. Anything else you see here, Drew, or should we wrap this episode up?
I think that you hit the nail on the head with that. One last thing I do want to mention is Northwood A. I mean, Northwood is just such a friendly program, such a fun team. And they had a really, really strong showing outside of their round three, where they had to face the buzzsaw that is Tufts A. They swept every other round, had a very, very solid showing. And so great to see them coming back to Nationals. They were technically the A2 group team here because they had such a good showing at Nationals last year. And Northwood's one of those teams where, you know, they had a few consistent years of making it to Nationals, then they had a few years off, and now it seems like they really are back and consistently making it to Nationals, which is great to see. They're a wonderful program, and I'm thrilled to see them doing that. And then similarly, the other team we haven't mentioned yet is Ohio State A. There were a lot of question marks around this team, and I'm thrilled to see that they are also making it back to Nationals. Just a really fun, great program in Ohio State, and it is nice to see that they will be returning to Nationals despite having some tough years of transitioning. And the last thing I'll just close by saying is, again, you know, the amount of 5-3 teams here, it's almost seems like when you're not able to get out at 5-3, that's when you have a lot of 5-3 teams. We had a bunch more here. We had, just going down the list, we had Pittsburgh, we had Southern Methodist, and we also had Dartmouth A and Dartmouth B, all going 5-3. So, you know, in just even saying that, you know, hope people are noting Dartmouth. I mean, clearly they're looking like they're going to be a strong contender. And you got to think, I mean, Dartmouth is such a good school. You got to expect that they're going to probably be very, very competitive in years to come. And they never had really been a Nationals caliber team in the past, but it seems like they are really on the rise. And to have two teams do that well makes me definitely have my eye on them moving forward. But I think with that, we've definitely belabored this one. We've talked enough about all these different orcs, and I guess it's time to start thinking about Nationals, Ben.
Yeah, I am definitely doing some thinking about Nationals. We are practicing hard. We're scrimmaging this weekend. We'll be scrimmaging with people in Lancaster. The Nationals case is very different from the case that we've been doing all year. The case we've been doing all year had a lot of things in it that the Nationals case does not, in terms of character options and you know, just interesting things you have to deal with. No swing witnesses, which has kind of become the trend for the last couple of years for Nationals cases. But I think this is a wide open year. You certainly have, you know, I feel like we've, over the course of our Orcs episodes, have said, oh, that group, that top group of five, we've probably mentioned 15 teams, you know? So, and that's how it is, right? You never really know what team to truly expect. Like, maybe the UVA versus Yale repeat year in 2017 is the closest thing to like a, you know, a chalk national championship that you could have. But most years it is wide open, and I certainly think this year is no exception. So I'm really excited to go to Nationals, to get to experience an in-person Nationals, and to have Nationals results to break down very soon. Drew, any other thoughts before I wrap us up?
I think you mostly covered it. Sounds good to me.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. It is always a pleasure to be with you. We love these Orcs episodes. Congratulations to the 48 teams who are moving on to the National Championship Tournament. I will see you there, and I'm looking forward to a fantastic end to what has been a very successful season. Stay safe, be well, get vaccinated. We'll talk to you very soon. Until then, this has been The Mock Review with Ben and Drew.